This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our health and living segment today, Dr. Kang Nan Chuang, who's a consultant general surgeon and vascular surgeon from Sunway Medical Center. We are going to be talking about leg pain today and focusing very much on varicose veins and what you call peripheral arterial occlusive disease. Sounds like a big word, but anyway, we'll come and find out what this is all about. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 0377 109000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kang. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
You know, what are the common complaints when you see patients with leg pain?
Well, the usual complaint that I got, it really depends on what kind of spectrum of disease they presented with. Like, for example, if you talk about varicose veins, they usually complain of an ugly appearance of the legs, the bluish discolorations on the veins that pops out. Some can get really, really bad and big, tortuous veins. Some even presented even later, which presents of ulcers, wounds and ulcers in the leg, and some get infected as well. Some of them as well actually present with bleeding after the ulcers and just bleed from the edge and just can't stop. Come to emergency department for treatments, and if you get more history from them, they have been having this for a long, long time.
And that's varicose veins.
That's varicose vein.
Okay.
And as far as the peripheral arterial occlusive disease is concerned, they can present similarly as well, not just a leg pain, but the leg pain is more associated with walking, especially a particular distance. They get very specific as well, like 200 meters, 100 meters, they have to stop and just a little massage, and they get better and move on, and another 200 meters, they stop. And, I mean, even more severe than that, they can present as ulcers.
Okay. And let's look at the peripheral arterial occlusive disease, right? That is a circulatory problem, and how is that different from varicose veins?
Well, essentially, the peripheral arterial occlusive disease, as the name suggests, is arterial problem. Let's put it things very simply. From the heart, any blood that comes out from the heart is called arteries, and all the blood that goes back to the heart is called veins. And peripheral arterial disease essentially is an arterial problem. So the blood that comes out from the heart is a circulatory insufficiency problem. So somewhere along the line in the blood circulations to the leg, to the lower limbs, is partially occluded, or even more so totally occluded. That gives you symptom inadequate blood supply
to the limbs,
okay. To the lower limbs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's happening in varicose veins?
In varicose veins, simply because you've got stagnant flow in the legs that got pulled in the lower limb, because we stand upright and we walk. And in a certain parts of our legs, we have a certain valve and junctions, one at the groin, as well as behind the knee, we'll call it femoral junctions, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the valve serves as a one-way street. As you grow older, or if you stand a long time, if you are on a bigger size, mm-hmm. Those valves tend to be damaged. And because of that, when you stand upright, the blood don't naturally flow back to the heart normally. So you get the pullback to the lower limb. A backflow as such. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the distended veins.
Sure. I would never have thought that the legs had valves, actually. You always hear of valves in the heart, but not in the legs.
All the veins have valves.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now I learned something here.
Yeah.
I mean, so one is a valve problem.
Yep.
That's what I'm hearing. And the other one mm-hmm. is a blockage problem.
It is, yeah.
So you're blocking your arteries, blood supply
yep.
to the limb. So
yes.
Peripheral arterial occlusive disease is the blockage. Cholesterol, perhaps?
It's mostly, part of it's cholesterol. Mm-hmm. It's part of damage to the blood vessels as well, either from cholesterol or from smoking. And diabetes as well, they constitute a big part of our populations who has peripheral arterial disease. Mm-hmm. Essentially, these are three major causes of...
Okay. And the other one is a valve problem, and so it causes the...
It causes a backflow, and you can't move the blood back to the heart. As such.
And then you have?
And you have dilated veins, big blue veins, tortuous
okay.
veins, and eventually the things get accumulated outside the blood vessels, and the tissue surrounding it become weak from ulcers. From ulcers,
But does it affect the heart in any way in both
conditions?
It
doesn't really. Well, the veins, the vein venous problem doesn't really affect the heart.
Varicose veins.
It's more like a lifestyle problem. So it sort of it bugs you all the time. As compared to arterial problem, which essentially is a patient who showed up quite early to my clinic, and because they can't walk, they can't walk far, you know, they can't go upstairs, and it affects them.
Okay, yeah. But with varicose veins, you can still function. Would you say it's more an aesthetic thing?
In certain way, if in the early stage, yes, you can call it aesthetic phase, but as you progress, it's actually really affect your lifestyle a lot. I have patients who have these chronic ulcers for the last 5, 7, 8 years, and they've been looking around the alternative medicines or seeing other doctors to no level. They just keep on dressing the wound. They just can't find the source why it just couldn't heal.
The ulcers in the leg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it is because of the varicose veins?
It can be because of varicose vein.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But it sounds like peripheral arterial occlusive disease sounds more...
Just more urgent, more serious as such, because you can potentially lose your limbs.
And quite stifling as well.
It is, actually.
Okay, so let's talk about varicose veins. Some of the misconceptions. Do you have to be overweight to have a problem like varicose veins?
No, you don't have to. Overweight is one of the risk factors. You know, there are other risk factors. I've got patients as young as 20 years old. It's just congenital. If you ask around the histories, family histories, the mom, dad, uncle, auntie has a similar problem when they were pretty young, in the 20s or 30s. It's just because of the constitute of the vein vessel wall itself. It become loose, it become lax. So it start pulling, doesn't function as well as far as the valve is concerned.
So it can be inherited?
It can be inherited, but having said that, a lot of my patients are in their late 50s or 60s.
Okay, so not common to have it in your 20s?
Not common, but it happens.
What are the chances if one parent has varicose veins? Do we know the chances of the child?
It's actually less than 10% of the time. Actually, much, much lower than that, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Also, you read about how if you have had too many children, there's a very high chance, or you've had many pregnancies, there's a high chance that you could have varicose veins. Is there much truth to that?
There's a linkage, actually. There's associations. I wouldn't call that as such as a risk factor. You know, we don't see all the time the mother who have a lot of children have varicose veins, but some, even they have one or two kids, they start having varicose veins. Some people say that it's because of the pregnancy, the big tummy you have, it actually impedes the blood flow back to the heart, so it actually affects the valve. So, but some are okay with it.
Okay, so not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay, it's definitely association.
Does it mean that if you have prominent veins showing on the legs, it is varicose veins?
Not all the time. Mm-hmm. So you need to get it checked out to say it is a varicose vein as such.
Okay, what are other possibilities?
Other possibilities includes it can be what we call AV malformations, arterial venous malformation. Essentially, just the arteries and the venous join together and it causes a high flow.
Mm.
So everything pops out.
There's a lot happening in the leg, isn't it?
A lot. Legs, the limbs, upper limb, lower limbs such. It can be anywhere, actually. Those are can be dangerous because when it bleeds, it's quite torrential.
Okay. Yeah. So the valves, can't you just go in and fix the valve? See, I just make you sound like, you know, I mean, you're a vascular surgeon.
Yeah.
Work your magic. Go in there, fix the valve and everything will be okay.
It sounds actually logical to do that, actually. In fact, we do that, actually, in the past. Many, many years ago when the new technology hasn't come in and we try to what we call valvuloplasties. Okay. But those are really, really messy surgeries.
What do you do?
Basically, we just open up and stitch it up and the valve, when the valve is lax, we just stitch it up to the side.
Right.
And then just reconstruct the new valve out of it.
And why wasn't that successful?
So it's just messy, a lot of blood loss. And as you can see, a lot of... the blood vessels are very deep.
Mm-hmm.
We usually do it for the deep vein, not so much on the superficial veins that people see. A lot of blood loss, like I say, and it ends up under general anesthetic for a long, long time. And the results, just nothing fantastic about the results.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't fix the problem?
It does to a certain extent, but it's not perfect. It's never medically satisfactory,
okay.
I would say. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, back in the day, I think, or rather, maybe it's probably still happening, is what you do with varicose veins is you strip or surgically remove it.
Yeah.
What's happening? What are you doing? What are you stripping? Just removing the vein?
To make that really simple, the veins in the lower limb, they are just two sets, the deep one and the superficial one.
Okay.
It's the superficial one that we need to get rid of, all right, so that we can channel all the blood inside in the deep veins where the muscle can pump it up, the leg muscle can pump the blood back to the heart. So the whole idea is just to destroy the superficial vein. You know, so however way you want to do it, that's up to you. The good old ways of open surgeries, we're going to cut little incisions at the groin and then put a little, it's called a stripper. Just to strip it down, just pull the superficial out.
Just take it out. You make it sound so simple.
Just take it out.
I'm sure it's there for a purpose. I mean, so you re-channel.
It served its purpose. It's had its days, but now it's causing trouble.
So you strip it off. So where does the blood go then? You're re-channeling it to the deep
veins? Into the deep veins. Okay. So you get back to the heart. And like I said, this is the good also. It's still one of the surgeries a lot of general surgeon or even myself, a vascular surgeon, do. But the trouble is you have incisions at the groin and you're open for infections and collections of fluids. You've got a lot of lymph nodes around the areas. It can get a little bit messy. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back and find out. There are new ways of dealing with varicose veins, so don't have to strip it anymore. And we'll come back and find out more. So if you have a question on varicose veins, give us a call. The number 03-77-109-000, tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our health and living segment, Dr. Kang Nan Chuang, consultant general surgeon and vascular surgeon from Sunway Medical Center. We're discussing varicose veins and something called peripheral arterial occlusive disease. Now, just very simply to differentiate between the two conditions. One is a valve problem in the leg, in the limbs, and the other one is a blockage that constricts blood flow to the limbs and creates a backflow back to the heart. So very plainly explained, we are discussing varicose veins, and we were talking about how we strip it surgically in the past. Traditionally, what was done is just remove the vein and, you know, problem is solved. You divert the blood flow into the deeper vein and hope for the best. But there are now less invasive, less painful techniques. Can you share that with me, please?
Yeah, for sure. Like I mentioned earlier, the whole essence of the treatment is to get rid of whatever the superficial veins, however way you want to do it. The old ways is to strip it. Now the newer technology nowadays, we use laser. Okay, just essentially just put a catheter with a laser tip and to the end of the veins, and we just ablate it, just burn it off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As
simple as that, and the vein will get ablated and get fibrose and become scar tissues, and it's just left intact in there.
Who's diverting the blood flow to the deeper vein?
The body will take care of itself.
It happens naturally.
It happens naturally. You can essentially see it happening as you pull the catheter downwards into the lower part of the knee, and just burn along the way.
Okay, so laser is one option. Any other options, or is that the most simple?
Essentially, what we call is thermal ablation. Laser is one of the method. The other method is what we call radio frequency ablations.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically utilize heat energies to burn within the veins. And there's another method, so what we call the chemical methods, which essentially there's a little catheter that spins like a little wire at tip. At the same time, they inject what we call sclerosants, some chemicals to harden the veins, which just cause a lot of reactions to the vein. And then same thing, we just pull down and zip it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not freezing it or anything?
It's not freezing. It's just chemically destroying it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to get admitted, or is that a day surgery?
It can be done as a daycare surgeries. I've done a lot under local anesthetic as well.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't have to go to sleep.
Right. And so if all of us have varicose veins, we can come and do it That easily?
That easily.
When do you stop? If somebody has got a very bad case of varicose veins, can you be removing all of them?
Essentially, when someone present to the clinic, that's a complaint, right? We deal with what the complaint is. And somewhat what I see in the Malaysian populations, a lot of them come pretty late, such as ulcers. And ulcers for many years, mm-hmm. they don't just present with a varicose vein, just popping blue veins, that's it. They have pain, just long-standing achy pain when towards the evening. It's pretty bad, and you have to sit down, raise the leg up. And these are the so-called symptoms that make their life very difficult.
Okay, yeah. So your advice is to come early?
Come early. We'll assess the patients. Is it worthwhile doing the treatments? Of course, there are one of the treatments that I did not mention earlier is actually what we call conservative treatment, mm-hmm. which is do nothing, but it's a bit of misleading. There's do nothing. Of course, we do something about it. We put you on what we call graduated compression stocking. So basically, it's very, very tight stockings at different pressures, at different level of the lower limbs, and it sort of helps to channel the blood back into the deep veins and go back to the heart.
Without doing any surgery?
Without doing surgeries.
Okay. And can you prevent varicose veins?
You can't, actually, unfortunately.
Really? I mean, even if I avoid crossing my legs?
Nah, it's nothing that good. I cross my leg all the time.
There is a myth out there that if you cross your legs, you're going to get varicose veins.
No.
We created that.
Yeah.
Because it is disrespectful to cross legs. It's typical of us.
Yeah.
So there is no such thing as preventing varicose veins.
No.
But if you cross your legs.
So
besides inheriting this problem, is there anything else that we could possibly be doing to aggravate the situation?
A lot of them comes with the age, obesity, things that you can change. Well, you can't change your age, you can change your size. And prolonged standing, one of the occupational hazard, we call it, for people like us, surgeons, doctors, mm-hmm. nurses, teachers, lecturers.
Because I don't think it will apply to the rest of the population because we're not moving enough.
It's not so much of moving enough. And like I said, varicose veins, there are a lot of studies out there, not in Malaysia, but in the West, that shows that actually up to about 30-40% of populations have varicose veins, as high as that.
That's a lot of people.
But whether it causes any symptoms, any aggravating symptoms, mm-hmm. any trouble to their lifestyles, that's a different thing. You can live with varicose veins, blue veins, for the rest of your life. It doesn't bother you.
So what's the worst thing? What is the worst thing that could happen if you don't address it?
Well, the symptoms will come, as in the leg crampiness, mm-hmm. the leg heaviness. That's a start. Okay. And if you accidentally pop on the blue veins, it can bleed. It can bleed quite a lot. After it bleeds, the ulcers can be formed, and because of the high, what we call venous pressure, the blood can't go back properly, and then the wound doesn't heal very well and sort of drags on and on for the next few years. And people don't pay much attention to it because the ulcer can be small. They thought, okay, let's do some dressings and see a few doctors here and there. It does get a little bit better with good dressings on and off, but it doesn't really completely go away.
So if a vein does pop and there you do experience bleeding, what do you do?
You just compress it.
Ice compression?
No, just take a tissue, take a cloth, press it, go to the nearest emergency.
Okay.
Yeah, if it doesn't stop, let's say about 5-10 minutes, and just go to the emergency.
And what would you do in emergency?
I would give some local anesthetic. I might stitch it up, okay, and then just stop the immediate bleeding at the same time and assess the whole situation. What causes the bleeding in the first place? Is it really because of varicose veins, or is it some other problem?
Mm-hmm. And you've got to be careful, I suppose, if you're on blood thinners and all of that.
Of course, of course.
That would make it even worse.
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. Let's move on to peripheral arterial occlusive disease. And I think this needs quite a lot of mention, I feel, anyway. What are the symptoms, Dr. Kang?
Like I say, they have a very specific leg pain.
No bulging veins here?
No bulging veins, okay. Normally. Although two conditions can coexist at the same time. It's not that common. We do see a few, but it's not that common. Now, like I said, the symptoms usually includes pain on walking, especially a certain fixed distance. When we walk, we use energy. Energy comes source of blood with oxygen and nutrients, and the muscle uses it. So when you walk a certain distance, that the demand can't cope with the supply, that's when you get trouble. So there's a whole easy way to explain.
So the legs don't receive enough blood.
Yes.
And blood flow to keep up with the demand.
Yes, exactly. It's like how you run a marathon. Mm-hmm. You know, you get cramped after about 10, 20 kilometers.
And that's because
it's
of
exactly
the
same thing.
Blockage.
Yes.
In the veins.
Yes, and in this case, that's because there's a blockage and the narrowing of the vessels that can't cope up with the supply.
And are we talking about the superficial veins or the deep, the deeper ones?
Those are veins, and this is
these
arteries.
These are the arteries.
Arteries, yeah.
Okay, there's
arteries,
a difference.
There's only usually just one set of arteries.
Okay.
Going forward.
Okay. Is this a sign of a larger problem, though?
It is, definitely.
You talk about blockages in the arteries, you always think of a heart attack, right?
Well, everything comes as a package, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't just get one isolated issues in one particular region of the leg. There are, but, you know, usually it's everything. Everything, what I mean is, you know, you have associated cardiovascular, as in the heart issues. Some people have stroke before. And when you have one bad vessels in the body, you do tend to get quite a number of bad vessels elsewhere. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. We never think of narrowing of the arteries in the legs.
Yeah.
Whoever thinks of that? We always think of the heart or in the brain.
Yeah.
But never in the leg. Because will you get a heart attack if that blocks?
It does. Actually, a study shows that a lot of people with a peripheral arterial occlusive disease, after about the 1 year that they experience symptoms like that, almost a quarter of them do have a heart attack.
So it is a symptom.
Yes. Yes.
Get yourself checked out.
Yes.
How do you diagnose this?
Well, simple tests. I just patient come to me. I get a full history. So a lot of time, history can tell me a lot of things and the numbness. And if you could do a physical examination, sometimes you see ulcers and loss of hair in the lower limbs, and you get some brittle nails and
loss of hair only in the lower limbs.
In the lower limbs.
Okay.
I'm talking about lower limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your legs are cold. Unexpectedly cold on one side and the other. And you can't feel the pulse.
How do you feel the pulse in the leg? I never knew.
There are a few places.
You could check for that.
Yeah.
You always think of the wrist or the neck, right?
Yeah.
But never the leg. Where is it?
There are a few places that we can feel. One is at the foot. There are two at the foot, actually. At the feet, sorry.
Under the foot?
It's on the foot, what we call the dorsum of the foot, which is just above below the ankle.
Okay.
And one is behind the what we call medial malleolus.
Okay, so just the flat part before your toes.
Before your toes, yeah.
All right.
And then there's the one behind the knee, and there's one at the groin.
Yeah, behind the knee, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But usually we go for the foot.
Okay. So there's no pulse, did you say?
There's no pulse. Pulseless.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What about other symptoms like cramping, color of your legs? Does that play a role? I mean, is that a symptom?
Pardon me? Sorry?
The colour of your
legs. The colour, definitely. I mean, those are pretty late signs. Those are very dangerous signs to get blue colour.
It goes blue.
Blue colours. I mean, the next stage is become black. That's not good. The black means gangrene.
Mm-hmm.
Gangrene means it's unsalvageable and it's beyond repair.
So you don't have to be diabetic?
You don't have to. Okay.
To experience this sort of condition.
Yeah, there are certain risk factors associated with it, very high associations. One of them are smokers. Okay, essentially smoking because of chemicals in the smoke damage the vessel walls. It can do damage to the heart. And you can hear from all the cardiologists saying that the smoking is no good for the heart. Similarly, it's no good.
It's not good for anything.
It's no good for the blood vessels.
Yep.
Yeah. And high cholesterol as well. As well as in diabetes. The blood vessels in diabetes are generally very, very poor. Yeah.
And another symptom, slower growth of toenails?
Those are one of the symptoms because you don't get enough nutrient supplies to the nails. So it gets a bit brittle and deformed.
Shiny skin on the legs?
Yep, it is.
And erectile dysfunction in men, is that a symptom?
That's a whole different topic altogether.
We leave that to Dr.
George Lee. George Lee. Yeah, it's out of my domain.
Is it a symptom though?
It can be, it can may not be.
Because ED is a sign of, a possible sign of,
ED can be a sign of a lot of disease as well.
I mean, okay.
To my little knowledge of urology.
So how do you fix this? What do you do if you do have peripheral arterial occlusive disease, which means the arteries in your leg are blocked? Yep. What do you do? I'm already thinking about angiogram and angioplasty. Can you go in there and balloon this artery?
I always like to say this. This is my best part usually. It's like a fixing a highway. Right, the federal highway is choked with vehicles, and in that sense, blood. So that many lanes you can put, right? So instead of three lanes, now it's been choked to just a single lane. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you either reroute it, build a new highway on top of it, next to it, whatever you want to do, or you just fix it back to three lanes.
How do you do that? Scaffold?
So simple as that. We are surgeons. We can fix a new highway. Just make a new, use your own vein to fix it on the arteries. That's building a new highway, which is essentially a patency. It's pretty good. It lasts much longer. But then again, it's a surgery. It's a big surgery. It's a big scars and the pain. Post-op recovery can be an issue. Or the newer ways, like what we do, we play with the wires, play with the balloons and the wires, and from the one-lane highway, we go back up to three lanes.
So you can
just balloon the blood vessels, make it bigger.
Or you can stent it.
Stenting, it is one of the ways as well. Not very often.
Okay, I didn't know you could do that in the leg. I didn't know this was a problem at all, actually. Yeah. If you don't address these conditions, what happens?
The most dreadful complications from arterial problem is actually gangrene, which is essentially the death of your toes. Mm-hmm. If it's not that serious, if more serious, you can lose your foot. Some people even have to go for major amputation, above knee amputations, and lose a whole leg.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's scary enough. How important is care and management after you stent or balloon or even redirect the arteries?
What I usually tell my patient is to take good care of their feet as such. And a lot of them are diabetic. As you know, diabetic, they don't have very much sense of sensations in the foot, so they can't feel hot or cold or pain or anything like that. You step on something, they don't know about it. So foot care is very, very important. A good shoe that covers the whole of your foot, it's very important. Nice, warm cleaning and dry it all the time. That's what I usually tell my patients. And if by any accidents they injure their leg, come to the hospitals and let the doctor check it out.
Because that is if you are diabetic.
Yes, if you're diabetic, or, if you have a peripheral arterial disease.
Okay, but you need to get it diagnosed first.
Yes, yes.
What about foot massages? I mean, do those exacerbate conditions like these? And we love our foot massages.
I know. It's a good feeling, isn't it?
But, always.
Yeah. These are the questions that I get asked a lot from my patients. The massage, and is it good? Do any good? And essentially, I just throws back the question to them, and I just explain to them logically. Now, this is a blood supply problem. If you don't have any blood going to your foot, to your feet, I mean, whatever you do, it's not going to work.
It's not going to feel good.
It's not going to feel good. In fact, you feel more pain. Worse still, if you injured your toes, you get a little cut or anything like that, and it's not going to heal. That's going to make things even worse. Yeah.
Does it affect feeling or numbness, you mentioned? So it does have some effect on our nerves as well.
There are different stages of what we call the lower limb ischemia, as in the damage to the lower limb. Usually start off with no pulse and no sensations. And the worst still, you can get no motor function, as in no movement at all. And then probably the final stage would be it turns black.
Right.
That's beyond. So,
and level of exercise that's suitable for people with these conditions?
I would actually encourage patients.
Let's
start
with varicose veins.
Varicose vein. For varicose vein, I would actually ask them to rest their feet. try on the stockings. Try on the stocking. If things feel better, we can talk about surgeries. Because by doing surgeries, we can get rid of the stockings. Yeah? You know, hot weather like Malaysia's.
It can be difficult.
It can be difficult. Humid, hot, itchy, scratchy, that sort of things. Elevate the leg will be helpful, especially at night when you sleep. Put a couple of pillows underneath your leg. You feel much, much better in the morning.
But you're not saying don't exercise, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not saying don't exercise. That's in particular talking about the varicose vein.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to peripheral arterial disease, I would ask you to exercise once I've dealt with the issue itself, with the disease itself. If I do angioplasty, if I do bypass, when you're healed, you're not much pain, I will actually ask you to walk. Walk beyond your normal distance.
Of course.
Yeah, because how it works is the blood vessel would sort of recruit itself. And instead of just relying on the federal highway, they'll rely on Jalan Ipoh, Jalan Gasing, whatever
okay,
you call it.
All right.
Yeah, those things will eventually take over.
For sure. Yep. I mean, do you reduce cholesterol levels? Will that help?
And of course, reduce the risk factor. You're a smoker, stop immediately.
And that diabetes, will help?
Diabetes helps immediately.
Can you reverse the problem?
You can't. You can't reverse the damage being done, but you can stop the progressions.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So with peripheral arterial occlusive disease, the verdict is you have to exercise because it's really a symptom of a much larger problem.
Yep.
And with varicose veins, well, you need to play by ear. The socks, laser ablation does help.
The treatment,
In terms of treatment. So would you have a message for us on varicose veins and peripheral arterial occlusive disease?
I would usually place more importance on the peripheral arterial disease because
it's a lifestyle problem.
It is, it's a lot of it associated with the risk factors. I mean, nothing come isolated by itself. It's always a part of the bigger pictures. And, change your lifestyle. Stop smoking. If you have high pressures, get on treatments. If you have diabetes, it's not the end of the world. Get it treated. Maintain your blood sugar level in the body. If you have symptoms like lower leg pains on a certain distance that you walk, come to see the doctors. Come early. See if we can do anything about it. We might not do anything at all. We might just give you some medications and walk it off and it should be fine. But in the event that we need to do something about it, we have to do it, you have to do it.
Okay.
As for the varicose vein, there are treatment available. Don't wait till it's too late. Like you're having ulcers for the last 5-10 years and...
The bleeding sounds a little of concern, really.
It is.
Because you don't know when it's going to happen.
Is. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Especially in a fresh leg without any wound, sometimes that vein just pop open and start bleeding. It can get torrential and twisted. Scary to a normal person.
But you want to avoid it. Like.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Kang Nan Chuang, Consultant General Surgeon and Vascular Surgeon from Sunway Medical Center, speaking to us about varicose veins and peripheral arterial occlusive disease on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.